Today, the Supreme Court invalidated a jury verdict and a nationwide court injunction that had effectively curtailed violent tactics at abortion clinics. Some abortion opponents gleefully proclaimed victory, while abortion rights advocates glumly predicted doom. But in fact, the consequences for abortion clinics are likely to be minimal, as NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Today's decision stems from a 1986 lawsuit brought by the National Organization for Women on behalf of abortion clinics against militant anti-abortion protesters. The suit charged that the protesters used assaults, clinic invasions and blockades, destruction of equipment, and threats to shut down the clinics. A jury concluded unanimously that the militant groups had conspired to violate anti-racketeering and extortion laws. The clinics won $258,000 in damages and a nationwide court injunction that allowed the trial judge to jail for contempt any protester who engaged in such activities again. Today, however, the Supreme Court ruled by an 8-1 vote that the federal extortion law requires that offenders actually obtain property to be guilty of the crime. The lone dissenter was Justice John Paul Stevens. Writing for the majority, Chief Justice William Rehnquist said there is no dispute that the anti-abortion protesters here completely deprived the clinics of their right to operate their businesses. Indeed, some of the conduct was criminal, he said. But it was coercion, not extortion, because the protesters did not acquire clinic property or anything else they could sell. The protesters were elated. After a 17-year battle that raged through the courts and went twice to the Supreme Court, they had won. Operation Rescue's Randall Terry said he expects today's ruling to spur a new onslaught at the clinics.
When they started using these laws against us, they successfully broke the back of Operation Rescue, and they made people afraid to go to abortion clinics. This is going to lift that veil of fear.
Conversely, Kate Michaelman, the president of the National Abortion Rights Action League, was devastated.
It's an enormous, enormous blow for freedom of choice in this country. This decision today basically relieves any pressure on the anti-choice movement in continuing their effort to shut these clinics down.
In fact, though, the so-called FACE law, the Freedom of Access to Clinics law, enacted 8 years after this lawsuit was brought, has specific provisions that would accomplish, in future cases, everything accomplished in this lawsuit, damages, injunctions, everything. Faye Clayton represented the clinics in the Supreme Court.
I don't think a new enterprise could get going without violating FACE. We will nip them in the bud if they try to do it again.
What is not entirely clear is the effect today's ruling will have on the government's ability to prosecute some organized crime and labor racketeering cases. The federal extortion law, called the Hobbs Act, is often the tool of choice for prosecutors because it's broadly written and has stiff penalties, while state laws have weak penalties. But if the government must prove that a defendant actually obtained property, then what about the case of the mob telling the owner of a garbage business that he should move his operations outside the city or his life will be in danger? What about a labor union boss telling workers, "Join my union or else"? And what happens when a business owner is told, "Stop serving Muslims or we'll bomb you"? In the past, any or all of these were likely to be prosecuted as extortion cases, but none involve actually acquiring property. And today the Supreme Court said it would reserve for another day questions about what it called the outer boundaries of its ruling. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.